take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. And once you arrive there, I would like for you to find verse number 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12. Then would you stand with me, please? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12. And I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this: Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Isn't that interesting? The sermon is called Partakers of Christ's Suffering. Now, I want you to notice something before I get started. Here it says, if you're going through a fiery trial, rejoice. Huh, that's odd. Rejoice. Notice he didn't say, feel sorry for yourself. Nor did he say, seek a pity party. He said, you're going through a tough time, rejoice. Everybody goes through tough times. Jesus went through tough times, but he makes it very clear here. Jesus, so you all know, did not feel sorry for himself, nor did he seek a pity party. And so, the sermon is called Partakers of Christ's Sufferings. Father, bless us now. Holy Spirit of God, may the sermon help us and better us. Some will reject no matter what I say today. But to those that have willing hearts, might they be strengthened by the preaching of God's Word. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. The author of the book here is Peter. The theme throughout the book of 1 and 2 Peter is all about victory over the sufferings of life. Folks, just so you all know, life includes suffering. There's no way out of it. It's going to happen. That's going to make heaven a wonderful thing. When we get to heaven, there'll be no more suffering. But as long as we're down here, there's going to be suffering. In verse number 12, it said, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials. Listen, you're going to go through a difficult time, a bump emotionally or whatever it is. Don't look at that and say, well, that's strange. I'm very sorry. It's not strange. People suffer all the time. You might not have been suffering last week, and you are this week, and you will again in a week or two. It's not strange. He said, don't think that's strange. Don't make that strange. Happens all the time. He said, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. Now, let me explain something to you. That fiery trial, let me tell you about it. Nero hated Christians. He was an emperor. He used to host big drunken parties for his heathen friends. He was known for having gorgeous gardens, acres of beautifully groomed gardens. And this Nero, who hated Christians, the way that he would light his gardens, they would take poles, about like a fence post, sharpen them. They would impale Christians on them. You understand, they take a Christian's body and shove that pole into their body, dip them in tar, light them to become human torches to light the gardens at night so his heathen, drunken friends could see the gardens when the sun had gone down. And you think you're facing a tough time. You faced an emotional bump. And he said, Beloved, think it not strange. Listen to what Peter said, Beloved, think it not strange, the fiery trial that's come upon you. Now, wait a minute. He's telling the people that were going through that fiery trial not to think that strange. Well, I'm going to guess the lighter bumps that you and I take in life, I guess if he would say it to somebody that was going to be impaled, dipped in tar, and burnt to death, he would say it to you and I, right? I mean, surely our burden would qualify here. Amazing. Amazing. The Bible says that this fiery trial, he says, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. as we suffer, it's a part of being like Jesus. Jesus suffered like no man. He came from a perfect heaven to a sin-cursed world. He was born in a stable. He was hated upon arrival. He was lied about, falsely accused, spat upon, beaten with staves or sticks, locked up with the murderers. His beard was plucked. A crown of thorn was placed upon his head. He was nailed to a cross. He was given vinegar to drink. He was stripped of his clothing, stabbed with a spear, buried in a borrowed tomb, all that. And you know basically what Jesus said? Nothing. Most of the way through. He didn't seek a pity party, did he? You hear Jesus up there whining about what he was going through? You know, to serve Jesus and do something to Jesus, I don't think we ought to feel sorry for ourselves, should we? To be like him, we then need to suffer and go through hardship like he did. There's some of you say, I want to be like Jesus. Okay, we'll see. We'll see how much you want to be like Jesus based on how you treat people. We'll see. We'll really see how much you want to be like Jesus. Okay, we'll see how much you want to be like Jesus when you're going through a tough time. Tough times reveal us for what we really are. Because everyone will sooner or later rise or fall to their true, true character level. You will see them for what they are. The book of Peter helps us to suffer correctly. Folks, we're not just to suffer. We are to suffer biblically. You know, that everything we do, we're to do it according to the Bible. Everything. I noticed that 16 times in 5 chapters of Peter, you see the word suffer or suffering. I'm going to very quickly today talk about suffering. The sermon again is entitled Partakers of Christ's or Christ's Sufferings. Now, a lot of times when I come and I talk about our burdens, when I come and I preach to you about our burdens, so many times we're trying to help carry the burden. But I got to tell you this morning, I'm here to say to you, there's a right and a wrong way to suffer, and there's a biblical way to behave yourself. And I'm just going to tell you how we're supposed to behave ourselves when it comes to suffering. I'll teach you some things about suffering, if I may. Let me tell you, first of all, number one, suffering assures us that we're God's children. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 7, it talks about the trial of your faith. Now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You are saved by faith. And if you're saved, and when trials come your way, and when suffering comes your way, I just need you to understand. Folks, you're not saved because you suffer, but you suffer because you are saved. You say, why? Jesus suffered. You're no better than him. If he suffered, then you and I are going to suffer, and we become partakers of his suffering. So listen, if you died today and you know for a fact you'd go to heaven, you need to understand that there'll be some suffering between here and heaven. Away with this deceitful health and wealth type preaching and teaching. You watch the wackos on television and they'll tell you, you know, you get saved and get in the church and all your problems will go away. That is not scriptural, and the Bible does not teach that. Does not teach that at all. Suffering does not stop because we're saved. Now, there's some things you will not suffer with if you get saved. If you'll get saved and obey the scripture, you don't have to die from liver cancer from drinking liquor. You get saved and obey the scripture. So there's some suffering that can be taken out of your life, if you will. But folks, getting saved does not relinquish all suffering in our lives. But some teach that. Get saved and all suffering will stop. That's not true. Peter was crucified upside down. John was boiled in oil, alive, and then banished to the Isle of Patmos. Paul was shipwrecked, beaten, and imprisoned. Jesus suffered as no man. So, look, if you're saved, you need to understand suffering's still going to come. I wish I could lie to you, and I wish I could paint a pretty picture, but the truth is suffering continues. But the great thing is you don't go through the suffering alone. The Bible even talks about, hey, there's some suffering that comes as chastisement to us. God will chastise. He will discipline. He will spank His children. Now, the Bible says in 1 Peter 4:12, it says, think it not strange. And so, if you're a new convert in here, let me say to you, say, well, preacher, I got saved, and I'm going through some hardship, or I went through a tough time, and I thought some of that would stop after I got saved. Well, some of it will stop, and there's some suffering you won't face. But if the devil somehow shook you up and said, boy, you got the bum deal, you got saved, and you still had some problems, the Bible teaches you will still have those problems. Don't let your suffering steal from you the joy and the victory that salvation brings. But suffering, honestly, it is a sign of sonship. Did you know, let's take, if God chooses to spank you, if God chooses to discipline you, that's a good sign. Because God spanks His kids. When my children were growing up, I'm the one that disciplined my children. I did. Because they belong to me. And God may spank you, and that chastisement is a picture of sonship. So, understand, suffering is a part of proof that we are one of God's kids. There are some that teach that it's a proof that you're not, and they're wrong. Suffering for the Christian is a proof that you're one of God's kids. Secondly, this is hard to believe, but it's true. Suffering's a part of the will of God. There are people saying, I want to be in the will of God. Well, then there will be some suffering in the will of God. I'll read the scripture to you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19, it says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. According to the will of God. Suffering, folks, so you know, it's a part of the will of God. Was suffering a part of the will of God for Jesus? Sure. Are you going to be like Jesus? You're supposed to be. We are partakers of Christ's suffering. So, look, suffering's going to happen if you're saved, and suffering is a part of the will of God. Suffering refines us. Suffering can help us to remove the impurities in our life. Do you know, if you were a piece of wood, God may whittle on you a little bit to carve you into something that He wants you to be. And I'm sure that if the piece of wood that's being whittled by the old farmer could speak when the wood's getting cut, it would be going, oh, ow, ouch, that hurts. But what's happening? The master who is doing the whittling is creating something. And you all need to understand that suffering is a part of what a Christian goes through, and it's a part of God's will. And God uses suffering to purify us. Folks, I don't think ever should you ask for suffering, but when it comes, accept it and behave properly. Don't seek a pity party. Don't look for everybody to feel sorry for you. Now, people may give you pity and they may feel sorry for you, but that's not what Jesus did. And if you want to be like Jesus, you don't suffer and put on a show. Not at all. Some of you have suffered a lot in life. You've had a lot of heartaches. And let me tell you something. Sometimes our heartaches are self-inflicted. Sometimes they're life-inflicted. But God, through suffering, gives us a chance to step up. Step up. It's a part of God's will. And may I recommend something, and listen to me very carefully. If you don't get anything out of what I say today, get this. Don't let your suffering make you bitter. 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 Let it make you better. Better. You're better. You're not bitter. That's what God wants. Suffering's a part of God's will. You know what suffering is? Suffering is this. Suffering is giving a blonde a bag of M&Ms and telling her to alphabetize them. That's suffering for you. Hey. Don't get tricked by the devil. Somehow people can get saved and they think, I thought I wouldn't suffer if I got saved. That's not true. We will suffer if we're saved. It's a part of being a child of God. Matter of fact, Jesus was God's son and He suffered like no man. And how could God let His own son suffer? And you and I, who were adopted into the family, get out of suffering.
So we're going to suffer. But Jesus didn't whine about it, and he wasn't seeking pity. He didn't want everybody to feel sorry for him. Why? It was a part of God's will for his life. He took it with dignity. Suffering's a part of God's will. Not only that, suffering will make us to enjoy the appearing of Christ even more. Even more. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 7, and remember, this is written by Peter, the one who said, "Beloved, don't let those fiery trials shock you. Everybody goes through it that loves Jesus." In 1 Peter 1:7, he said, "Let the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Suffering will make the appearing of Jesus mean even more to us. See, all suffering will stop when he comes and takes us to heaven. So, I was preaching in Ohio, and a pastor had come to counsel with me, and he'd been having some tough times. And I told him, I said, "Listen, you'll get through those tough times, but there's no way to avoid them. If you want to be like Jesus, you're going to suffer in this life." I said, "But give yourself this assurance, when Jesus comes again, there'll be no more suffering." He said, "I am going to look forward to that day." And folks, we'll all look forward to that day. And let me tell you something. If you suffer a lot in this life, I think the day Jesus appears and you go to heaven, you might enjoy it a little more than somebody that wasn't suffering. So it's kind of a bonus. Mavis is deaf. I just said her name. She didn't look at me because she can't hear me. Let me tell you all something. Mavis is deaf. When Jesus appears and he snatches her away and she steps into heaven and hears everything, I'm going to promise you something. Hearing in heaven is going to mean 100 times more than hearing in heaven will mean to you. God allowed someone to suffer, but their heaven will be sweeter because of that suffering. Judy, I don't know what you'll go through. I know you've not been well. But if you suffer, when you get to heaven, those things with which you will suffer here, it'll make heaven so much better. No more doctor's appointments and fears of what will my body do as I'm not feeling well. Hey, look, suffering makes the appearing of Christ even greater. We'll enjoy heaven even more. And so if somebody came along to you and told you, "Boy, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be suffering," they're wrong. They're wrong. Jesus suffered. We will suffer. And suffering is a part of the will of God. And not only that, but when we suffer, one day Jesus will come back and we'll go to heaven. And that suffering will be done away with. Whatever you suffer with, whatever brings your mental anguish, whatever brings your physical anguish, one day Jesus is coming again. And when he takes us to heaven, it's going to be better than you could ever imagine. And when you walk into those pearly gates, onto those streets of gold, you're going to say, "Wow, everything that I went through, this is even better than I ever dreamed before." See, and then fourthly, Christ is glorified when believers suffer properly. When they suffer properly. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, remember this is Peter writing about the fiery trials, and he says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God." I'm to suffer, and it is to glorify God. I'm not to suffer and moan and groan and turn it into something it's not. If you're suffering for God, then okay. Suffer with proper Christian dignity. I don't see that there was advertising of suffering. There wasn't a pity party. Keep your composure. Suffer the best you can. Let, you know something? Lost people need to watch you suffer. And they need to see Jesus in you as you suffer. This lost world needs to watch us go through difficult times and say, "Wow, why does she do so well emotionally? How does she hold it together? How does he hold it together while they're suffering?" And then you ought to be able to say, "That's what God does for me. That's what Jesus did for me." And let me say to everybody here, Jesus held it together while he hung on the cross. He held it together for me, and He held it together for you. He didn't attack the people that put Him up there. He did not, He didn't hate. He did not try to hurt. Jesus took it all. Why? For you. He held it together. And He was suffering like no man had ever suffered. And if Jesus can suffer and hold it together and not become the enemy of the people that had put Him there, and if He could love on that cross, He didn't say anything nasty or bad about those people. You know what He said? Father, forgive them. They know what they do. Anything else you want to say? Yeah, I'm thirsty. Really? It's amazing. You want to suffer? Suffer like Jesus. He's your role model. Suffering is to glorify God. Jesus was nailed to the cross, spake not a word. A dear sweet lady that was the wife of the Bible, the president of the Bible college where I attended, she had cancer and they had predicted that she would die. 18 years later, she was still living. So you don't have to believe everything the doctors say. She wrote a book. It's called Cancer, My Enemy, and My Friend. And she, in it, I think there was a chapter, and it was entitled, I'm Going to Live Every Day Until I Die. I loved it. She had decided that every day that she was alive was going to be a good day, no matter what she faced. By the way, that's the attitude of Jesus Christ. You see, if we're going to be partakers of Christ's suffering, we need to realize that suffering is going to come if we're saved. We need to understand that suffering is a part of the will of God. We need to understand that suffering will help us to enjoy the appearing of Jesus in heaven even more. We are to glorify God in our suffering. Do you know that our suffering can help us to fellowship with God in a deeper and a more intimate way? Let me read to you from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says, For Christ also hath once suffered for our sin, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Here the Bible's talking about suffering. Jesus suffered, which brought you and I to God. Well, you know that when we suffer, that suffering can get us close to God. I think there are some of you, I'm not sure you would love Him like you do had you not suffered like you did. Well, I can tell you when I'm the closest to God. It's when I'm hurting the most. Some of you think about it. I look out and I look at faces and I know what some people have been through. I remember when your heart was broken. Remember when you were going through all that. Remember when you were devastated. And remember how you were reaching out to God with such deep sincerity and saying, Oh, God. And you build a relationship. Some of you are in this church today because of the time of suffering back then. You're closer to God because of the devastation you faced back then. So suffering has this ability to strengthen our fellowship with God. And again, some of you would not love Him like you do had you not suffered like you did. And I wish that you could say this. I think I would rather suffer and get close to God than to do without suffering and be distanced from God. You say, but some of my suffering is unjust. And I don't like it. I'm going to do something about it. Okay. What about Jesus? Did not the just suffer for the unjust? Oh, then if you want to be like Jesus, you know how to handle yourself, don't you? Say, it hurts. Okay. Anybody else ever go through something that hurts? Would you raise your hand, please? Oh, so everybody goes through tough times. The unjust. I'm the unjust. He's the just. Let your suffering get you closer to God. Don't waste that suffering. Let it get you up close to God. Right, let me go on. Number six. You know it is better to suffer for God than to suffer for evil. I tell you all something. Those of you that are saved, you have a chance to suffer in the will of God. Now, there's two ways you can suffer. You can suffer in the will of God, or you can suffer out of the will of God. Make your choice. I'd much rather suffer in God's backyard than in the devil's backyard. 1 Peter 3:17 says, "For it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." I wish some of you would listen to my sermon on Wednesday night about separation from evil. You ought to listen to the sermon. But here the Bible says, "For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing." Listen, when we suffer, we get the opportunity as Christians to suffer for well-doing. Folks, you're going to be persecuted if you do right. You're going to be persecuted for do right. There are people that will attack your pastor because of his stand. I've been going through that for years. But if I go through persecution, I want to go through persecution for doing right. If not, I'll go through persecution for doing wrong. One way or the other. Everybody suffers. You can suffer for doing the best thing, or you can suffer for something else, but you're going to suffer. So, it is better to suffer for God by doing the pure thing than to suffer by not doing the pure thing. Let me go on, and I need to hurry. Next, suffering cleanses the Christian. Suffering helps to cleanse us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 1, it says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." You know what it's telling us? There is a way that if we're sinning and we suffer as a result of it, there is a way that God can use that to purify us. I have watched people that let's say it's the sin of the bottle. I've watched more than one person living in the sin of the bottle get themselves in a mess, create financial chaos, crash their car, end up in the hospital, kill someone while they're drunk driving, and God get a hold of that, shake them, and they say, "You know what? I better get myself right with God. Look at the mess that I created for myself." So they create suffering, but the suffering brings a purity. I don't want anybody to suffer. I don't want you to suffer. I don't think we ought to wish that upon one another. But I will tell you something. You let somebody get out of God's will enough, they will suffer. And I don't think we as Christians are supposed to sit back and say, "Well, I'm glad. I'm glad you went out and destroyed your family. I'm glad you destroyed your children. I'm glad you destroyed your marriage." I don't think you ought to feel that way. But I will tell you this. You get far enough out of the will of God, you will suffer. And as that's happening, God has a way of help to get that bad stuff out of the life, because it's going to come to your mind real quick. I mean, when you're suffering, you're going to start checking up on what's going on in my life. What could be causing everything to fall apart? Why am I losing my marriage? Why am I losing my children? Why am I losing my grip spiritually? What has taken place here? And the Lord's going to say, "You got that mess in your life. Get it out of there. Get back to where you once were for God. What did you change that caused all of this?" And it may be there'll be a purification that takes place. And God said, those that suffered in the flesh, they can cease from sin. It's not always that suffering is a sign of sin in the life. But so you all know, there's sin in every life. So I would be careful. Don't pass judgment on one another. You say, I know somebody's suffering right now, and I think they're suffering because of sin. That's not your call. I'm not sure that you know that. But I do want you to know that God says if someone is suffering in life and they are living in sin, that suffering can purify them. It can help them to want to cease from that sin. I will tell you this. I believe there are sufferings in my life that ended up purifying me. I think I started to head down a path, and that path was not the best path for God. And God interjected some suffering to try to head me off. And I didn't like the suffering. So I said, I get the hint. So I headed down the other path. It salvaged my life, salvaged my marriage, it salvaged my relationships with some people, it salvaged my ministry. And so, understand that suffering can purify. I I think I can say this with a clear mind. There are probably people in here, there's probably some sin in your life right now that should not be there. Are you suffering over that sin? What's that creating for you? It might be you want to wake up and say, huh, maybe I ought to take that out of my life. And if God will allow suffering because of the presence of sin, then I guess when you take this sin away, there's some suffering that could be eliminated. You might want to try it. So, I've got one last point, and it's a short one. The sermon is called Partakers of Christ's Suffering. Suffering is not, it does not prove the absence of Christ as Savior. It can be proof of the presence of Christ as Savior. We don't get out of suffering because we're saved. And suffering's a part of God's will. And suffering helps us to look forward to heaven more. Suffering is, we are to glorify God in the way that we suffer. And suffering brings us closer to Him in our fellowship. We're better off suffering for good than to suffer being evil. And suffering cleanses the Christian from sin. And then I'll tell you one other thing and we'll be done. Suffering gives us a chance to help other people who are suffering. Some of you say, I want to help somebody. Well, the best thing you can do to help somebody is get them saved. There's some people that say, oh, I want to just help people. I want to help people. I've never seen you want anybody to Jesus Christ before. There are people all over the place that like to be helped. You really want to help someone. And I think giving somebody a pie is a good idea. But if I were you, I'd tell them about Jesus Christ and keep them out of hell. But if you suffer in a given area, it can help you to help someone. You take, for instance, is Rhonda Craig in here? Is she back in Children's Church? Mrs. Craig's husband, one day, he was driving a truck up in Pennsylvania, hit a bear, his truck exploded, and he died in that truck. Caught on fire, and he died. Just like that. She would tell you, I wish I got to say goodbye to him when he left for work that day, but I had no idea he was going to pass away. That's pretty tough. Your husband just suddenly passes away. Just like that. Well, a friend of hers, 10 days ago, her friend's husband stepped into the shower, had a heart attack, and died. Just like that. And Rhonda called me immediately and she said, Pastor, I can help. I can help. I'm heading to go help somebody. I say, why? Rhonda had been through that. She had been through that and went and extended a loving, helping hand to say, we can do this. We can get through this. And she wasn't just testifying of what she heard could be done. She wasn't just testifying that she read about it in a book. She wasn't just testifying that she seen something on Lifetime television. She went through it. And I would not wish that on that dear lady. I've known her for years and years and years. I would have never wished on Rhonda that she would have gone through something like that. But I'm going to tell you something. God in heaven knew what He was doing. And when that lady was ready to run to the aid of somebody else and say, I've been through this. You don't have to get bitter. You don't have to get out of church. You can do this and keep a good attitude and a good spirit. You can keep going and you can make it and you can take it. I'll tell you this. She has not gone backwards in any of her Christianity. She's going forward. She's still in the right kind of a church. She's still got the right kind of an attitude. She's still a soul winner. She still cares about people. Oh, but I'll tell you something. She can help people that you can't. Because when it got tough, she didn't throw in the towel. She said, I'll get through this. She can help somebody. And folks, let me tell you something. There's some of you, if you're not careful, you will waste your suffering. You could have helped somebody, but you won't. You go backwards instead of forwards. I happen to believe that suffering gives us the ability to help some people because of our understanding of what suffering is. And so, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, and as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." It is very clear here. He said, folks, don't think it strange if you're suffering a little bit. Everybody does. He said, you keep your joy. Keep your joy. He said, and later on, He'll said, I'll make it exceeding joy. But if you want to know how to do something in life, just turn to Jesus. Figure out what He did. Take a good long look at how Jesus suffered. Did you hear Him from the cross? Seek pity? You know what? We may give you pity. That's our call. But He didn't seek it. Was He bitter? Angry? Hateful? None of that. He's God. Behaved Himself very, very capably, maturely, while hanging on that cross. And I'm just here to tell you, we're to be like Jesus. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't want you to move. If you come forward, that's the thing to do. The movement during an invitation is forward, not backward. If you're here today and you're not saved, the altar is open to you. Is there anybody here that would say, "Pastor, I'm not even born again. Pray for me. I'm not saved." If you'll raise your hand, I will indeed pray for you. Anyone like that? God bless you. If you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. There are people in here, maybe you've misbehaved and you brought some suffering into your life. God will help you through that. But let that suffering turn you back to Him. Not away from Him, back to Him. Remember, don't let your heart become bitter. Bitter. Let it become better. You'll figure that out in attitude. Who here would say, "Pastor, I'm going through some suffering. I want to handle it God's way, not my way. I want to handle it God's way." Would you let God see your hand? Going through some suffering. I want to handle it God's way, not my way. I want to be like Jesus, not like everybody else. God bless you. You may put those hands down. Do you know that almost every hand in this place was raised? That means everybody's hurting some. Don't seek pity. Keep your joy. And suffer like Jesus. The just for the unjust. We'll have an altar call. If you need a moment at this altar, I wish you'd come and use it. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Christian, do you need the altar for a moment? You maybe need to touch base with God about some suffering that you're going through? If you're not saved, you come. We'll take the Bible and show you how to be born again. You say, I'm heart sick. My heart's heavy. Okay. I understand. We're all going to suffer. Everybody suffers. I'm not trying to show a lack of compassion. I love you. I'm your friend. But somebody needs to tell you, everybody suffers. I suffer. You suffer. We'll all suffer. Let's behave ourselves as we suffer. Keep your joy. Stay on the firing line for God. If you got some sin in your life, get it out. Don't go backward, whatever you do. Boy, I watch people. They begin to suffer. If something doesn't go their way, they start going backwards. Don't go backwards. Don't go down. The altar is open if you need it. Suffering. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. I do not see a whiny pity party going on right there. I see strength. Whatever you face, you can take it. Whatever you face, you can make it. And by the way, you can take it and you can make it with a good attitude. Your attitude's up to you. Don't you blame your attitude on everybody else. You young people, don't blame your attitude on mom and dad. You wives, don't blame your attitude on your husband. And husband, don't blame your attitude. Hey, and don't blame your attitude on me. Blame your attitude on you. Thank you, Sarah. Look right at me, and I've got another 60-second sermon to preach here. And so I expect double pay this week. I was at a funeral. A lady, and I told this story to my Sunday school class this morning. I was up at the funeral of the man that I just told you that passed away. There were some people there that I pastored many, many years ago. And one came over to me and was ill unto death. And you could tell. And that person looked at me and said, "Pastor, I haven't heard your voice for years. Can you tell me one more time that I can make it and that I can take it? Because nobody's telling me that anymore." I said, "I sure will." I said, "You can do this. You can do this. You can make it. You can take it. You can go through this." And she said, "Thank you. I just needed someone to tell me that." It was kind of funny. About 3 minutes later, she come hobbling over to me, dragging her husband along. And she said, "Preacher, tell him." And I wasn't really getting it. I said, "Tell him what?" She said, "Tell him he can make it. Tell him he can take it." I said, "I will." I looked him right square in the eyes and I mentioned his name. And I said, "You can do this. You can do this with a good attitude. You can do this and be strong and do right. You can do it. Because we are to suffer as Christ suffered."